catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Wednesday morning, November 16th. I'm Elliot Trudeau, and this is The Point from WUFT News. History was made Wednesday morning as NASA's Artemis 1 moon mission blasted off from Kennedy Space Center. This was the program's third launch attempt after the mission director scrubbed the first two launches due to fuel leaks. Artemis 1 is an uncrewed test mission for the program that will ultimately return humankind back to the moon and later on to Mars. I spoke with WUFT's Jacob Sedesi about the historic launch. So, Jacob, can you tell me what happened?
So today, NASA kicked off the Artemis program, which is slated to send man back to the moon after 50 years, first woman and person of color to the moon as well. Today's mission, Artemis 1, was an unmanned test mission, and it was the third launch attempt. They started trying to launch this thing back in August. They had another go in September, and after some issues with leaks, they rolled it back into the vehicle assembly building for repairs, and between Hurricane Ian and the issues that they've been experiencing, it's been long delayed. So this has been the first attempt since all those hiccups, and it went on that first, well, really the third, but, you know, first try in a long time.
What are some of the challenges that Artemis 1 has faced?
Going back all the way to before the program was even called Artemis, it's been in the works for about a decade, and it's seen funding struggles, motivation struggles from the government. It's been a very long time coming to even get its feet off the ground at all. So the rocket has been on the pad for months, and when the first launch happened, they had an issue seating the seal for the hydrogen tanks. The hydrogen, they kept trying to fill it. It kept leaking. They kept doing all these things to try it over and over again, and it just didn't work. And both launch attempts, they ended up sending the press home before the launch window even would have started because they just knew it wasn't going up. It seemed like it was going smoothly. They had fixed the hydrogen issue that had been long running. What they thought was happening was some kind of thermal shock that was causing the tanks to leak because the hydrogen was being filled so quickly. So they started filling the hydrogen at a very, very low pressure, and it ended up working. And, you know, immediately they were like, we're an hour and 20 minutes ahead of schedule. Everything's going great. And then when they were in the process of topping it off and kind of keeping the hydrogen level at 100%, they noticed that there was some leaking again, and this time it wasn't caused by thermal shock, but rather some loose bolts. So they had to send out what they called the Red Crew to the launch pad to perform some manual in-person repairs, and this is, they told us it was pretty commonplace, but it was still a hazardous thing, and they had to transport the team to the pad. So it was kind of a scary moment trying to see if they could get bolts tightened. It came together very quickly, and after they had got the team back off the pad, they tested it again, and it seemed like the hydrogen was sitting.
As you were reporting from the launch, what was that like?
The most important part of this story is really just the experience of the launch. You can talk about, you know, the logistics of the mission, and you can talk about all these different aspects for so long, the budget. There are a million angles to this story, but really the most important thing is inspiring the new generations. Of course, they're doing all this research, but really they want to inspire a new generation of scientists and engineers and people all across the STEM fields. And being there on the site, it was hard to not be inspired. I know I shed a few tears. And our director, Denise, was with me, Denise Vickers. And, you know, there were hundreds of people at this press site, and everybody was rubbing elbows, trying to fight for seats and interviews and things like that. But having everybody there when that rocket was going up in the sky, and, you know, people of all ages, men, women, were just bawling their eyes out and cheering, and it was just such an inspiring moment to see everybody stop the competitiveness for 1 second to just appreciate the history and the gravity of what began today.
That was WUFT's Jacob Sedesi about NASA's Artemis 1 launching from Kennedy Space Center. Now let's catch up with the latest stories from around the state. The newly elected Alachua County Commissioners promised to improve the county's infrastructure and make affordable housing more accessible as they were sworn in Tuesday. According to WUFT's Aiden Ahmad, Mary Helen Wheeler, Ken Cornell, and Mary Alford swore their oaths in the Jack Durance Auditorium with close to 50 friends, family members, and county residents assembled. Once the formalities were done, the commissioners were allowed to relay to the audience the goals they hoped to accomplish while in office. U.S. Senator Rick Scott of Florida announced Tuesday that he is challenging Senator Mitch McConnell to be Republican leader in the Senate. According to the Tampa Bay Times' Emily Mahoney, while he's unlikely to succeed, Scott's unexpected challenge to McConnell comes as Republicans are wrestling over a lackluster performance in the midterms, when the party out of power historically seeks significant gains. The Senate leadership election is scheduled to be held Wednesday. Governor Ron DeSantis announced Monday that controversial State Surgeon General Joseph Latipo will remain in the post as DeSantis enters his second term. According to the News Service of Florida, Governor DeSantis tweeted, "Dr. Latipo has done a great job as Florida's Surgeon General. His evidence-based principles serve as a counterweight to the increasingly political positions of the entrenched medical establishment, especially on schools, masks, and mRNA shots." DeSantis last year hired Latipo as a replacement for former Surgeon General Scott Rifkes. The biggest increase for a Florida market regarding how much income you need to buy a home was in Northport. According to WTTA Sam Sachs, the income required rose 73.9% from what was needed in 2021, meaning that residents have to make at least $131,535 to buy a home. The year before was $75,659. Subscribe to The Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox every Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Visit WUFT.org for more information. I'm Elliot Tritta, and you've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida. Have a great Wednesday.